You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
There's no better way to kick off Halloween weekend.
And celebrate my birthday.
Than with a live show in our hometown of Dallas, Texas.
For one night only, we're presenting a special live show at the iconic Texas Theater in Dallas, Texas. It's our last Sinisterhood live show of 2022, so don't miss out.
If you can't make it to Dallas, you'll still be able to join in on all the creepy fun by purchasing a virtual ticket. More information about virtual tickets will be coming soon.
All other tickets are available now and can be purchased at sinisterhood.com/liveshows. We'll see you on October 27th.
Bump in the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Well, welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday. I always am interested when we put out a call to action in a prior episode and then we get one. So we asked for hotel stories and we got a hotel story.
Got a hotel story. We did. Yes.
We got several others too.
But. There's quite a few. This one's true crime heavy with a couple of paranormal mixed in.
Yes.
But we've been getting a lot of true crime ones recently, which I believe we asked for because we were only getting paranormal. So you guys are doing a great job listening and following directions.
Everyone's doing well. Just submitting the assignments. We appreciate it.
Well, let's get started. I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Jenna, and it is called, I was an RA to a potential bomb builder. Hi, friends. Let me just get to it. In college, I was an RA. I like to think I wasn't one of those asshole RAs that busted underage kids drinking in the dorms just because I could. My rule of thumb was, if you were smart and safe, we wouldn't have a problem. I have a lot of stories, but this story beats all of them, in my opinion. My first year as an RA, I worked in a primarily freshman hall. On move-in day, we had a 25-year-old man moving into a typically 18 to 20-year-old represented dorm with an 18-year-old roommate. Hear me out. I am so stoked that people are going to college at any age and even are taking up residence in the dorms. The situation was just a little weird. If I had to live with an 18-year-old at 25, I would have lost my shit. Not surprisingly, the 18-year-old moved out ASAP. Honestly, this guy freaked me out from the beginning. He just didn't seem to have a grasp on reality. He would wander the halls aimlessly in his PJ pants, bathrobe, and no shirt on. He would leave the building with a fifth of booze to climb old grain elevators and come back either drunk or high out of his mind. He'd spend hours staring at the elevator lights in the lobby. He started leaving flowers and love notes at the door of a girl who was creeped out by him. At one point, one of my residents came to tell me that as she was entering the building, this guy was sitting on the picnic table in the front, wearing a bowl as a helmet, and throwing oranges around. Sadly, my resident got hit by one of those oranges. I expressed all my concerns about this man to my boss, just to keep his eye out in case of a mental health crisis. Well, lo and behold, right before the winter break, I hear the elevator door open outside my room, see this man pin something to the wall, and then run down the stairs. I went to check it out, and no shit, this man pinned a Christmas wish list to Santa straight on the wall. Tack and all. There was a bulletin board 2 feet away, and the wall wasn't even easy to put a tack in, but whatever. This list was bizarre. I wish I had taken a photo, but I promptly gave it to my boss, who actually dismissed the note. The list included wishes of ammunition and explosives. Yep, my boss dismissed that. Not even a week later, I watched this motherfucker walk into the dorm with a bag full of fireworks. We called the cops and he was taken into custody and banned from campus. It really freaked me out to think he was casually walking into my hall with fireworks after requesting explosives from Santa. While he was being arrested, he couldn't really form a coherent sentence to officers. But that doesn't even end it there. His room was searched and he had drawn plans to blow up the building. He had a briefcase with trace amounts of heroin in it and a lot of other manifesto-type ramblings in it. It was really scary, knowing that I felt weird about this man, saw him pin a wish list for explosives, and I got told it was a non-issue and essentially was dismissed. There was no intended reason why, which is even creepier. Do you think I'm done? Absolutely not. His room ended up quarantined off through break, and the floor he had lived on smelled awful. Turned out, he had been using the garbage can in his room as a shitter. The folks that had to clean that up should have been given a 3-year vacation. It was a really weird time. I am thankful that we were able to remove him from the building. I do wish and hope that he got mental health help. As scary as it was, I really think it was a psychotic break of some sort. Thanks, y'all. I love the podcast very much. It brings me a lot of joy. I retired my RA duties in 2016, and now am a professional mentor to 10 young, wonderful, underserved girls. The program is long-term, and I get to be with these kiddos until they graduate or are 18. I have varying ages of girls, but we constantly talk about mental health and how important they are, despite their experiences or what the world tells them. They are a future I believe in. Much love, Jenna.
Well, I love that Jenna left us on such a positive note. That's wonderful to know that there are groups like that out there supporting people and making mental health a priority. The boss done fucked up.
Yeah, you, of all the places to not let stuff go, I think a school is, poor in America especially, should be at the top of the list where we don't just turn a blind eye to somebody talking about explosives in a university or a school setting.
And it'd be one thing if it was just bizarre behavior and they kind of said, yeah, we can't really do it. But it's like, you mentioned something like dangerous or violent. I think just taking it seriously. I'm not saying you have to take him to jail. Just have a one-on-one interview with him. Just chat with him a little bit until you find out he's been sneaking dumps in his room the whole time.
I don't know how that wasn't found out earlier. I mean, if he didn't have a roommate, but just the smell alone, you would think there would have been complaints. But the behavior of leaving unwanted romantic gestures to the girl and the just bizarre behavior in general. It is, and much like Jenna, I'm all for people going to school at any age. And if you want to live on campus, that is your right. As an 18-year-old, I would not have felt comfortable living with a 25-year-old, I don't believe. I would feel less comfortable living with an 18-year-old at 25. So that would have sent up a red flag. As an 18-year-old, I may have been like, oh, cool. Now I got somebody to buy me beer. But it's all of this put together definitely paints a creepy picture. And the most alarming part is she did what she should have done and went and told her boss and it was dismissed.
Especially like you said with the unwanted romantic gestures and then hitting another student. Yeah, it was an orange, but you still hit me in the head. Incidents like that, you're like, now it's becoming cumulative. And you hate to see that it has to take a sack or a bag. I don't know if it was a duffel bag or a sack full of fireworks on premises to go, wait a minute, we got to call someone in on this. What's been happening? You're like, I've been telling you what's been happening for a while.
Yeah, it's if I can almost get kicked out of the dorms for just getting really drunk and crawling down the hall, you'd think that people could get kicked out for a lot less.
They should have made you an RA for doing that.
Damn, I don't want the job. And bless you, Jenna, for being an RA, because I never envied those people. Mine was named Jenny. She was very nice. Her boyfriend was also an RA who was also nice, but...
They flocked together.
They, you know, that RA life just isn't for me. I'm not the one. I would have been fired very quickly because a lot of people would have gotten a lot away with a lot of shit under my watch.
Yeah, I'm always like, that's the rule, but is it a just rule and should we obey it?
Oh, I would have just been like, do whatever you want. Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I don't see, like Jenna said, I'm not hurt. You're not hurting anybody. You're staying in your room. You're not bugging me. I don't really care. If you wake me up, you're expelled immediately. Don't wake me up.
Yeah, don't do that. Well, this next one is also about college. It is from Ellie, and it is called My Sister Brought a Murderer on My Ghost Tour. Hey ladies, I wanted to share a story about a ghost tour I gave of my college campus back in 2016. In November of 2016, I was still an undergraduate history major at the University of Tennessee. For one of my classes, we were tasked with writing a historical walking tour of campus. I, of course, decided to write a ghost tour. For our final projects, we had to give our walking tour for our professor and other history faculty members. I decided to give a practice run of my tour for my friends so that I didn't mess up anything on the actual tour. I invited my twin sister Ashley to come along, and she happened to mention to a classmate in her interior design program, Molly, who wanted to come too. The afternoon of my ghost tour arrives, and Molly is annoying the shit out of me, asking me questions about ghosts that there is no way I could answer. For example, there is, supposedly, a ghost called Fanny who haunts a particular building on campus that has a stage. The story goes that she wanted to be an actress, so she dropped out of the university and moved to California to pursue her dreams. She ended up dying of tuberculosis before she could achieve her goals. On my ghost tour, Molly asked me what Fanny's major was and also what her GPA was. These are ghost stories, my dude. By the time I finished the tour, I was pretty grumpy due to Molly's insane questions, but overall, thought it went pretty well. I did, however, privately express my disdain for Molly to my sister later. About a year passes, and my sister texts me and asks me if I remember Molly. I responded with, yes, of course, she was annoying as shit. My sister then informed me that Molly and her father had murdered her husband, Jason Corbett, in North Carolina in August of 2015. Roughly 15 months before she accompanied my sister on my ghost tour. Jason Corbett hired Molly Martins Corbett as an au pair to take care of his children after his first wife died in Ireland. Jason and Molly began dating and then married, settling in an upscale golf community in Davidson County, North Carolina. In 2015, Davidson County police found Jason Corbett's nude body in the master bedroom of the couple's house. Prosecutors allege that Molly Corbett and Tom Martins, her father and a former FBI agent, brutally beat Jason to death with a 28-inch Louisville Slugger baseball bat and a concrete paving brick. A medical examiner testified that Jason was hit in the head at least 12 different times and that his skull was crushed. Molly's father claims that he beat Jason with the baseball bat after finding him strangling his daughter. Several articles suggest that Jason may have been abusive, but also state that all of the physical evidence in the case contradicts the claim of self-defense. There seems to be a lot of contention over whether it was self-defense or not. Molly and her father were convicted of second-degree murder in 2017, but the convictions have been overturned and no retrial date has been set. All I know is that my sister's classmate, who attended my ghost tour, asked me a bunch of dumb questions and helped her father kill her husband. Love you guys. My sister and I have been huge fans for several years, and we'd love it if y'all ever came to Knoxville. Keep it creepy. Ellie. P.S. I'd be happy to send you my entire ghost tour if you're interested.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Well, we know Central Ohio has the best football team. Did you know we have the best credit union, too? It's easy to fall for CME, Ohio's number one credit union, recognized nationally and statewide by Forbes and rooted right here in Central Ohio. CME Federal Credit Union, bank with the best. Membership subject to eligibility, federally insured by NCUA, equal housing lender. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Well, this is timely that this was sent in because they're having hearings right now to determine when the retrial will be for Tom and Molly Martins for the murder of Jason Corbett.
So they were both convicted of second-degree murder in 2017.
Yes.
And why were the convictions overturned, does it say?
The North Carolina Supreme Court issued an opinion that the only defense in their case was that they were legally justified in using deadly force because of this abuse that allegedly had happened. The trial court excluded testimony of Corbett's children, who would be Molly's stepchildren, so that's not their mom.
The ones that she had been hired to take care of initially.
Correct. Yeah. Allegedly, the children had made comments to the family center where you kind of take kids whenever they're in a legal proceeding where you take the kids to one place and then like lawyers meet with them, doctors right. meet with them, psychologists meet with them. They don't have to move them around. They all meet at one place. And they had made comments about that, but then later recanted. Well, the trial court excluded admissible testimony, which the Supreme Court said was relevant to the central question presented to the jury, which was, is this legally justifiable homicide? The trial court said those comments that the kids made at the family center are excluded. They can't be included in the trial. And they were, Molly and Thomas Martins were both convicted, like you said, unanimously of second-degree murder, but the jury didn't hear the comments about possible abuse. For their part, the Corbett family and the kids have said, we didn't see abuse. We don't know what they're talking about. If we're called to testify, which they likely will, they're now ages 13, I think, and 17. 17 and 15. And they're going to have to come back and testify. The family thought it would maybe be sometime in the fall. Now there's going to be another hearing on September 21st. So in the next week or so to determine a proposed date for the retrial, it'll likely be in 2023. His whole family, the victim's whole family lives in Ireland, which of course, understandably, you'd be frustrated to, you don't want to have to fly back and forth. And in the meantime, his sister wrote a book called My Brother Jason, in which she states her belief that Molly and Thomas committed premeditated murder and that the victim's family believes this was just cold-blooded murder. There was not abuse. There was no defense. And that they should be charged with first-degree murder rather than second-degree.
But currently, they're not in any kind of jail.
The prosecution has said, we are going to pursue this. Like, you've been granted a retrial. You haven't been acquitted. It didn't say, oh, you're innocent. The Supreme Court simply said, you should have let that evidence in about the kids allegedly saying this at the family center. And then the jury could have weighed that against whatever other evidence and then come to their verdict. By excluding that, you then denied them of a fair trial. Therefore, now they get a redo.
Mm-hmm.
That's why objections are super important at trials.
Well, did they say what they think the motive was? If the family believes it was premeditated and just cold-blooded?
I would have to look at her book. A few articles I pulled up said that in the book, his sister states her belief that Molly Corbett and Thomas Martins committed premeditated murder, and she believes the two should have been charged with first degree. So they're very outspoken and are involved in they're pushing for justice mm-hmm. for their loved one that's lost, but they are very frustrated because the kids now at 17 and 15 are coming up on some pretty significant exam years in secondary school and how school goes over there. Mm-hmm. So just delaying and delaying keeps is very disruptive to them, yeah. but they're still interested in
justice. Plus they've lost their justice. Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that they said that the article I read said that they live with the family in Ireland and that a hearing earlier in 2022 was the first time since the last trial that they'd come face to face with their stepmom who had killed mm-hmm. their dad, which has got to be so hard to handle at any age, yeah. much less, you know, you lost your dad and you're just a teenager.
Well, it's wild to think all of that happened and you're just on a ghost tour. It's just those things where you're like, do we ever really know people? I mean, unless you really dig into everybody that you meet, their background, like, who knows how many people we all just encounter on a daily basis that have something like this going on.
What they're capable of, yeah.
Eerie, yeah. Well, this next one is from Liz, and this is called Haunted Puerto Rico. Who doesn't love a Puerto Rican ghost? Where do I begin? In the early 90s, I lived in Puerto Rico. We lived in a beautiful house that we quickly learned was haunted. Nothing was weird when we first moved in. The most fascinating thing about the house was that there was an old floor safe in my parents' closet, and my sister and I couldn't wait to try to pry it open. We tried every combination of numbers, and we finally gave up. Believing that 1 million forgotten dollars were in that safe, we were obviously disappointed. Then it began. Little things. We would walk into the bathroom, and everything that was on the counter would be in the tub. And even if we put it all back on the counter, you'd return to find it back in the tub. We blamed each other and were mad about what we thought was just sibling pranking, even though it happened almost every day. I lost my driver's license, and I swore that she had taken it. She lost her keys, and she swore I took it. Little things that could be explained away. Things got crazier. I was having a sleepover, and we were all down on the first level. We had an old broken music box that my mom had kept because she liked how it looked. No matter how hard we tried, we couldn't get that music box to play. But that night of the sleepover, in the middle of the night, it started playing the creepy as fuck Love Story by Johnny Mathis. It immediately woke me from my sleep and I froze, not knowing what to do. Did I mention there were like 15 people sleeping on the floor? Not one woke up, by the way, despite the fact that I was shitting my pants. I waited until the frightening sound ended, then I cautiously got up, navigated my way through the labyrinth of my friends, and looked at the music box. When I turned it around, I saw that the handle was still broken. I went back to my sleeping bag, but barely slept. The next morning, I told my family, and we all agreed that it was my, quote, overactive imagination. Read, my family thinks I'm crazy. One day, my dad had forgotten some papers at home and asked me to go and get them for him. I unlocked the front door and went to his office. As soon as I walked into his office, everything shut down. He had copy machines, a fax machine, two computers. You know, the 1995, my dad is Inspector Gadget starter kit. I had that feeling you get when the power goes out and everything gets quiet. I walked over, grabbed my dad's papers, and got the hell out of there. Another time, our dog was locked outside. But we hadn't left him outside, and no one had been home, and the gate between the front door and the outside was locked. We found out that the ghost really didn't like my sister. We don't know why, but she was the target of many of the scarier experiences. Her room had bats outside the window that nothing could get rid of. Bats? Really? She was sleeping in that same room downstairs by herself, and in the middle of the night, the closet doors opened, all the books from the shelf came flying out, and she said she saw a fluorescent hello on the wall. She ran like hell upstairs to my parents' room, but the door that separated the room was locked. There's no lock on that door. My parents woke up to find her in the fetal position right outside their door. Later that month, after my family determined that she too was crazy, she was the victim of the worst the ghost had. She was downstairs in that same haunted-ass room, watching TV, when our dog came down barking loudly. He wouldn't stop, so she decided to take him outside. There was a swinging door between the dining room and the kitchen. We always left it propped open, because who needs a swinging door? It's only fun for playing restaurant. Anyway, the door was closed, which my sister found weird. And when she pushed the door open, there was a fire. A backdraft singed her eyebrows and eyelashes and some of her hair. We don't know how emergency was alerted, because my sister spoke no words for about 2 weeks. If I ask her today about that day, she won't talk about it. The cause of the fire was undetermined, because there was really no reason for it, other than to scar my poor sister. In the end, our parents finally believed us when my sister and I went away to college, and they had a friend come visit who asked why he was always waking up to all the bathroom stuff in the tub. We firmly believed that we were targeted for trying to open that safe, and my sister specifically, because she kept slapping my hand away when I would fail with the lock so that she could get a crack at it. My parents moved out and back to the States. We heard that the new owners remodeled and got rid of the safe. Turns out, there was nothing in it at all. An early lesson on life's disappointments, for sure.
There's a number of things in this house that are scary and disturbing. Very disturbing and annoying to have things move, but the fucking music box in the night.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what that song sounds like. Johnny Mathis is country, right?
Kind of like old crooners, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Mathis.
Well, it sounds like what I like to call killing music then.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Just that.
Where there's like, it's playing on a record and it's like.
Mm-hmm. We've watched horror movies the past 4 nights in a row, I think.
Asking for it.
We're getting geared up. Well, it started when we were in Colorado. Oh, God, what?
Sorry, the song started playing. It's fucking creepy.
Wait, can you share it?
Let me see.
Can you play it?
Let me see if this works. Tell me if this... Nod your head if this works.
Okay. Oh, God. No, I don't want to hear that playing in the middle of the night. I don't want to hear that playing ever, but especially in the middle of the night. You're
hate
just
it.
Sleeping
hate
with 15
it.
Of your friends, and then all of a sudden that. Oh, and then it's broken. How did it play? How did it ever play? I am glad the parents finally believed you, but maybe we take a lesson. And maybe it doesn't need to be the parent's friend that finally comes along and is like, hey, why is this going on? And then you're like, okay, now we believe y'all. Believe your kids if they're telling you this kind of shit.
In fact, I think the best way to root out, if you're like, man, I think my kid might be lying about paranormal activity. The best way to root it out is to believe it 100% and investigate it all the way. We go, all right, we're going to call the local ghost center. We're going to find the equivalent of the ghost guild.
We're going
to have
in.
Them come in. Do you want them to do that? It's going to be a whole thing. You might be on the news. If it's fake, it's going to be on the news that it was fake. But if it's legit, and then be like, you want to do that?
If it's legit, it will also be on the news. Either way, you're going to – the news crew will be here. Do you want this?
The news is coming. So decide what you're going to tell them. Is it going to be an apology, a heartfelt, sorry for lying to my family, or we have evidence that the mm-hmm. paranormal exists?
Speaking of paranormal activity, there are several new paranormal activities out because we almost watched one the other night. And then Tommy was like, wait, I think there's 3 new ones. I was like, okay. So instead we watched, what did we watch? We've watched so many. And I know people are always looking for good horror movies. We watched, you and I and him watched The Rental.
Yes, The Rental, I found.
And The Ritual, both I thought were good.
Did you know The Ritual, I learned later, Paris watched that movie and then was inspired to write the Texas Horror Cult short film that won last year, Final Girl Defense, that had Jade in it. He said, I go, we watched The Ritual in Denver. And he said, you know that that's what inspired my writing that other thing.
Because
the way that The Ritual ended, his brain thought, what if this? And it sparked a new idea. I had no idea. I didn't put 2 and 2 together, but well, both very good films.
Very good. And
what'd
then
you watch on the plane?
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
When your furnace or air conditioner quits, you need it fixed, fast. This is Dennis Sullivan, president of CARE Heating and Cooling. Our technicians are paid to fix your HVAC system, not sell you a new one. We show up on time, diagnose the problem, and get you comfortable again, without the high-pressure sales pitch. It's our commitment to honesty and craftsmanship that helped us win the Lennox Partner of the Year Award and a BBB Torch Award for Ethics last year. So, call CARE Heating and Cooling at 1-800-COOLING or book an appointment online at careheatingandcooling.com. When you need a company you can trust.
I watched Gretel and Hansel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still have like 15 minutes left. It's like a more modernized, well, not even really that modern, but it's a very dark fairy tale, but it's has a lot of tones of like female empowerment and stuff in it. And then what did we watched X last night, which is an A24 film. My God, lot of nudity.
Wait, what was it called? I'm kidding.
And then Tommy was like, wait, what's today? And then he said, tomorrow a sequel of this comes out. Like, that's how long it's been since.
Score.
I was like, well, usually we don't watch them that close, so now we can watch that. We watched something else the other night too, and now I can't remember what it was. I'll think of it. And then, but yeah, we're on a horror movie kick. So
there's so many good ones, and we have on our Patreon Discord. If you're into horror movies, there's like good horror movies and so bad there are good horror movie mm-hmm. discords that you can share all these in too if you have more ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this next one is from Stephanie, and the subject line is Living the NOLA Dream, Maybe? Hello, ladies. Let me start by saying I enjoy listening to both of you, and I've been listening since September 2019 while at work. During downtime at first, but since I got promoted to a different role, I listen whenever you post new episodes while I process claims for the nonprofit group I work for, helping cancer patients with financial assistance. With being an empath, I have to distract myself from the heaviness at times. Well, let me tell you about what happened to me in NOLA 2006. One of my best friends, Amy, and I used to go down and visit my family, my aunt and cousins, once a year in October for the French food festival they had in La Rose, Louisiana. We decided rather than drive to and from there to NOLA, we'd be responsible and stay in the French Quarter to experience everything in full a couple days before she flew out. We ended up meeting up with a childhood friend, Christine, who I was in Japan with when our parents were stationed there. Anyway, we did the whole drinking at the multiple daiquiri shops and getting beads. After hanging out a bit with her, we decided to do the ghost/vampire tour. When our tour guide walks in, I am mesmerized immediately when he starts talking. Have you ever had a recurring dream since childhood and then you meet the person from that dream? Yeah, that happened. I've had a dream from the antebellum era, and in the dream, I walk into a living room area, and there's a man who's standing at the fireplace, and he tells me my family has been killed, but I never see his face. The house is a plantation house. When the tour guide started talking, I immediately realized he was the man in my dream. I didn't know what to think. My friend was like, let's just go on the tour and see what happens. He stayed near me the entire time, or maybe it was me needing to be near him. He made small talk with me, and during the entire tour, I just was mesmerized. After the tour, he came up to me and said he felt like he knew me from another life. We hung out a little bit, but I didn't want my friend to feel left out, so we decided to turn in for the night. Our hotel was known as being haunted, the Place des Armes, so we wanted to see if we could catch any orbs or experience anything there. We did get a couple of orbs, but nothing else. Well, I took her to the airport, and then I met up with my mom, and we went to a tour of a plantation house called the Destrehan Plantation. As soon as I walk in the sitting room, I had the same feeling like I had been there before, and it looked like the one from my dream. What are the odds that I would run into the guy from the dream and be in the house from my dream in the same trip? I haven't had the dream since I went on that trip. Anyway, I hope you ladies keep it freaky and continue on doing what you're doing. Ooh, that's eerie.
It's interesting that the dream hasn't happened. Maybe you closed a chapter you were needing to subconsciously or consciously work through.
Just go back and visit, and your past life is, you know, finally realizes, hey, this one's, you know, that one's over, and this is present now, and I need to stop trying to intrude in. A lot of self-restraint and kindness to your friend, because if I met the man of my dreams, I would probably have gone to the room with him.
Well, he was in her dream. I don't know if he was the man of her dreams.
You never know.
He was the man of a dream in which he tells her whole family's been killed.
He's not the man of her dreams. He's a man from her dreams.
A man from her dreams.
Very important article
that
there.
That gave her some incredibly bad news. So I don't know if I'm like, let's go back to your room when that's my association with him.
You never. Well, it's past life stuff is very fascinating to me, and I would that would be a fun if we could find like a past life psychic. That would be very fun to explore what past lives would probably be. But definitely, I've had that feeling of, oh my goodness, this is very familiar. Like I've been here into a place you've never been before. And when I ghost tour in New Orleans, one of the most effective ghost tours I've ever been on, including. I don't think it was pre-planned, but an area when, as she was speaking about a deceased person who was from that area, the lights dimmed on all of us. It was, like I said, either it's real high-quality ghost tour and they know where to trick you to turn the lights off, or something happened.
Or a coincidence.
Or it's a coincidence, but it's also New Orleans, so it's like everything's 1,000 years old, like all the electricity and stuff. So I think you're just like, stand under any street lamp.
Yeah. Oh, well, there it goes.
And if it's not just faulty electric, there probably is a ghost because it's New Orleans. So you're always going to get something.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
The open road feels even better with CME Federal Credit Union. CME wants to beat your current auto loan rate by 1.5% APR and give you a fresh start with no payments for 60 days. Whether it's tailgates, pumpkin patches, or road trips through Ohio's back roads, let CME help you cozy up to savings and make this season one to remember. Terms and conditions apply. Minimum floor rate of 4.99% APR. APR means annual percentage rate. Federally insured by NCUA. Visit cmefcu.org for additional details.
Love New Orleans. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie, for sending that in. The next one is from Rihanna. Rihanna, the singer, I'm going to assume it's you. Thank you for your music.
Actually, I just heard something the other day that was celebrity names that we all think we pronounce correctly, but we do not. And she pronounces it Rihanna.
Rihanna?
And in this interview, they asked her, is it Rihanna? And she said, no, it's actually Rihanna.
But people just, well, Rihanna, we're taking it back.
Ariana Grande was another one.
Oh, yeah, she's Grandy.
Yeah, she says Grandy.
Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm. She said that's what her grandfather always said, and so that's what she said. There were several. I was like, but have we all just decided this is their name now? Nobody cares what their actual names are?
Tell me how to say it.
It was weird. It was a TikTok, so don't at me in case it's not true.
Well, Rihanna, thank you so much. This one is Hotel Stories, Almost Axe Murderer. Hello, ladies. I absolutely love the podcast. You both are incredibly funny, and I love the unique insight you provide into these crazy cases. Anyway, I was listening to the Freaky Friday number 28 and decided to heed your request for weird hotel stories. Trigger warning, blood, injuries, and dementia. I worked in hotels for 6 years and definitely had some weird experiences, but one of the scariest and saddest was the time I thought I was going to be the victim of an axe murderer. So, the second hotel I ever worked at was a small boutique hotel out on the beach. When I say small, I mean like 18 rooms in total small. On this particular day, I was working the daytime shift at the front desk reception. The hotel reception desk was located on the left of the lobby, and there was a small seating area on the right. Down two or three steps from there was a small lounge space. I was at the desk, and the maintenance man and the hotel owner were sitting down in the lounge. Suddenly, something out the window to the parking lot caught my eye. I turned to see an older gentleman stalking toward the hotel, absolutely covered in blood and with an axe in his left hand. I wish I could say that I immediately sprang into action, but honestly, for a few precious moments, I was completely frozen in place. I had never seen so much blood in my life. Luckily, my brain finally threw my ass in gear, and I grabbed the phone, started dialing 911, and raced toward the lounge as the man kept coming. I shouted to the owner and the maintenance man, and they looked up and immediately ran out the front door. My first thought, great, now they're definitely dead and I'm next. But rather than attacking them, the older man just sat down on the bench in front of the lobby. The owner raced in and grabbed towels and started shouting at me to call 911. Way ahead of you, my guy. The 911 operator was incredibly kind as I tried to piece together what the owner was trying to tell me versus the crazy sight of an axe murderer before me. Paramedics and police came. I found out later the older man lived across the street in an apartment building, and the owner of the hotel was friends with them. The man lived on his own as his wife had recently passed away. He was suffering from dementia, but refused to leave the apartment. That afternoon, the man had decided to try and trim the palm tree outside his apartment and slipped off the ladder he was using, hitting himself in the head with an axe. Luckily, it was a fairly superficial wound, and he was all right after a brief hospital stay. Needless to say, I took a bit longer of a break than normal that day and had a good cry out on the beach before returning to my shift. Thank you again, ladies, for all that you do, and keep it creepy.
That is that's something out of a horror film. That's a sight. You look up and you just see kind of like It Follows. Yeah. I just imagine that coming at you, but they're covered in blood with an axe.
Just walking with purpose, because I'm sure his brain is like, hotel, people, help.
Yeah, I'm glad that not just suffering from dementia, but also a head wound, he was able to have enough wherewithal to get himself to help.
Right? You just go, I got to drag myself to safety somehow. But from her perspective, I know, looking out the window and going, it's happening.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, it's a joke. It must be it's not a joke. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. But I'm glad it worked out in the end. Don't climb a ladder without someone spotting you underneath. And especially with a sharp object.
It's really sad. She said he has dementia. So it's very hard. Like, do you, as the family, how do you prevent things like that from happening where you don't get a call? It's like, dad was trying to trim the palm tree and accidentally chopped his head off.
Yeah, it's so hard. That was hard when I had clients like that, because family members do say, well, how do we, you know, when is the right time? And it's like, your parent is never going to go, I can't really handle this anymore. Can you just do everything, take this off my plate? Because everybody wants to maintain a sense of independence. Just safety-wise, though, that's really difficult. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he went to have some supervision, people checking on him, something that does not happen again. But I'm glad that everybody was there, because your head and face bleed so rapidly. And depending on what medications you can be on, sometimes older people are on blood thinners. Mm-hmm. That's very scary. So good job, Rihanna, for calling 911. Bringing
Who knows?
Into action.
Who knows?
All right, this last and final one is from Liz. And the subject line is, I went to church with a murderer.
This is the same Liz as the earlier story.
Double Liz.
Double Liz.
Hi, ladies. Here is another of my Freaky Friday stories. I went to high school in St. Louis with a kid named Charlie. He was a handsome soccer player, and while he was a nice guy, you could just tell he was trouble, which, of course, attracted the girls. He began dating my sister's best friend, so he was around a lot. He'd go to church with us, attend Sunday school. We shared many stories and typical 1989 high school shenanigans. He was kicked out of our school, but I can't recall the reason. We didn't see him anymore because he had broken up with my sister's friend. Some said it was because her mother didn't like him. As a mom now, I totally get it. I graduated in 1992, and at our 10-year reunion, there were rumors that Charlie had killed someone. but they were just rumors, as no one could confirm or deny. Last week, my son wanted to look in my yearbooks, and after answering questions about why I was in every group photo, of course I did it on purpose, I was on the yearbook committee, I thought I should look at my classmates on Facebook and see if they got better or worse with age. When I got to Charlie's picture, I remembered the rumor, and I quickly Googled his name. The rumors were true. I found the court documents, and after reading the whole thing, I learned that after stealing her father's car and rifle on December 3rd, 1993, Charlie and his then-girlfriend drove to California. They ran out of money, so on December 9th, he and the girlfriend kidnapped a 19-year-old named Diana Contreras. Diana was Christmas shopping at a Bakersfield, California mall, and after she made a payment on a necklace that was going to be a special gift to her mother, she walked out to her car with her purchases. Sadly, Diana never had the chance to give her family their presents because, as she was leaving the mall, she was forced into a car by Charlie's girlfriend. They kidnapped her, robbed her, and took her to an ATM and learned her PIN number. After robbing her and remembering that she had a car phone, Diana was driven to a remote location near Taft, California, and shot to death. Oil workers found her body the next day. Her autopsy showed that Diana had died of 3 gunshot wounds. Because it was a rifle shot at very close range, her heart had been, quote, destroyed. It said that she would have died quickly. One shot was fired while she was standing, and the other 2 after she fell to the ground. It also indicated she was holding on to something, perhaps her purse and packages, when she was shot. One bullet went through what she was holding. The couple then took her purse and packages with them. After using ATMs multiple times and reaching the daily withdrawal limit, they went back to the mall and took Diana's car and drove to Las Vegas, where they got married and paid for it with Diana's money. A total of $1,800 was taken from her account. On the 15th of December, these pieces of shit started driving back to Missouri. Due to the bolo on Diana's car and ATM video stills, they were stopped and arrested in Kansas. In the trunk, they found the rifle and the ammunition, ATM receipts, and the marriage license, as well as Diana's purse and its contents. There was also a Siamese kitten in a carrier. What? When arrested, Charlie told officers that his girlfriend had nothing to do with it and maintains that to this day. At the trial, he told the court that he didn't intend to shoot her, but as he was ready to drive off, Diana begged them not to leave her and walk towards him. He then shot her with the stolen rifle. Because she was screaming, he shot her 2 more times and said he did so that she, quote, wouldn't go through no pain. He said he chose to rob Diana because, quote, she was just a little girl, she weighed 85 pounds that wouldn't fight or nothing. When asked why they got married, he said, quote, I guess, you know, because we were going to jail, I wanted to be able to keep in contact. In 1995, he was sentenced to death and is currently in San Quentin with other trash holes like Scott Peterson and Rodney Alcala. His girlfriend was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole, but in 2017, the governor changed her sentence to 25 years to life with the possibility of parole. I couldn't find anything past that about her. Sorry, that was a bit long and heavy, but it's weird to know that I sat next to this kid and couldn't imagine that I'd be telling the story about the kid next to me in Sunday school.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it would be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now. You don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire. Available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Liz also wrote, I don't know that his name deserves to be disclosed, but his name is Charles Roundtree, and his girlfriend slash wife is Mary Elizabeth Schroeder. All info is available online. Liz is correct. I did just a quick search. Charles's death sentence was upheld. His conviction was upheld by the court. But part of the reason why they granted the girlfriend parole is because there was an argument that she was just as much of a victim, not just as much, but was also a victim, that, you know, he allegedly was murderous, mentally ill, and she was emotionally immobilized. She said she was neglected by her parents, abused by her family, and had been in numerous abusive relationships. And the evaluation said that she didn't share the intent of the killing, but that she couldn't resist and stop him. For Diana Contreras' family's part, they disagree, and they told the news, my life sentence is waking up for the past 23 and a half years without my sister, who would have done something with her life and not have used her bad childhood to do wrong and bad things, and her life sentence should be where she's at. I think that's fair. You take a life, your life should be in prison and where you spend the remainder of your life. So that was Melissa Hernandez said that.
Wow. All of it sucks. It's one of those, you're just in the... You're doing nothing wrong, just wrong place, wrong time, unfortunately. His argument of, I shot her because she was walking towards me, doesn't really hold up when he says in the same breath, she weighed 85 pounds and that's why we chose her, is because she couldn't fight back. Well, what did you think she was going to do? You don't need to shoot her if you don't find her a threat.
And he was full of shit. He said, and I believe it was two other instances, he confessed, like, yeah, we robbed her and we were done, so I shot her. Well, then at trial, he wanted to say, oh, well, I didn't know what she was going to do, and so I accidentally shot her because she was walking towards me, and then I felt bad, so I wanted to put her out of her misery. And then another time, well, she was charging at me. So this initially, and the forensic evidence showed, it was a cold-blooded premeditated murder.
Yeah.
And he just was trying to make up
excuses. Well, that's thank you, Liz, for that and your other one as well. And thank you to everyone else that sent one in. Some a lot of these had the common theme of you never really know who the person sitting next to you might be.
Yeah, in the dorm room or, you know, in this case, your Sunday school, anything like that. The person on your ghost tour.
Mm-hmm.
That is very eerie for sure.
Now we're all going to go do some Googling of people we went to school with and see where everybody is. Well, we're going to spend the rest of the night.
I was talking to Paris about this and he had a similar story. And I said, well, why don't you send it into Freaky Friday? Because he had an instance with a high school classmate.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty sure that I went to school with someone that's committed murder. I mean, just statistically, I'm sure I did. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for everyone that sent in your stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday.
And we usually save our live show announcements for this time of the show. So it's a live show announcement. October 27th in Dallas, Texas, we're going to be at the Texas Theater doing a special creepy, spooky Halloweenish show. But then also it's my birthday. So who, maybe celebrities will be there. Zach Guilford, is he coming? We don't know yet.
We'll find out. Contacted him. I don't want you to get your hopes up and think Zach Guilford is going to be there. And then he isn't there.
I think he might be in Austin filming something. So we'll tweet
him. Perhaps it will happen then.
But even without Zach Guilford, you'll be there. And if you're saying to yourself, I'm not in Dallas on October 27th, I can't be there, hold your horses. There's going to be a virtual option. Mm-hmm. More information on this coming soon, but you will be able to experience our hometown show with us from your own hometown, wherever you're at right now. And then for a couple days after, watch it at your leisure if you're not on our same time zone. But October 27th at 8 p.m. Central Time. We're going to be here in Dallas, Texas. Go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. Currently buy tickets for in-person. And then as soon as we got them, we're going to have that link for you to buy your virtual ticket. And if you're on Patreon, you might want to sign up for Patreon too, because they're a little perk, a little Patreon perk as well.
Mm-hmm. We love providing Sinister Hood to you at no cost, so if you like what you hear, consider supporting the show by donating to our Patreon. We're a small operation, creating the show for you by researching, writing, recording, and producing it ourselves. Any amount is sincerely appreciated and helps offset the cost of making and hosting the show.
As a thank you, you'll also get some sweet perks like ad-free episodes, a Sinister Hood sticker, membership to our exclusive Patreon Facebook group for those in the Rolling the Airwaves and Getting Into It tier, a special shout-out on the show, a monthly bonus mini-sode this month is about a digital AI cryptid called Loab, and patron-exclusive video and audio content including Am I the Asshole? Relationship Advice, Judge Christie, Dear Sinister, True Crime Headlines, and so much more. Got a DM the other day. Someone said, if I sign up for Patreon today, do I only get the stuff going forward? And I had the pleasure of saying, no, no, you get hundreds of hours. Everything we've ever put on Patreon from March 2019 to present is all yours when you sign up today.
What a fun journey through time. You get to see us before the lockdown and after, before certain kids were born. It's just a whole, you weren't married at the time.
No, I was like, why can't I find a boyfriend?
You also have the fun perk of access to our Discord server, where you can connect with other fans in real time and discuss the latest in true crime, share personal ghost stories, or just post adorable pictures of your pets. We hop on occasionally, and we host monthly Q&As on Crowdcast, where you can ask us all your burning questions. This month, our Q&A,
I believe it's September 27th, Tuesday, September 27th at 8 p.m. Central, and then the live stream will be Thursday the 29th.
There we go. Also, the movie I was trying to think of is Men.
Yikes. Found it.
It is, it's intense. It's haunting. Intense.
Does it haunt you? Is it haunting?
It should haunt everyone. Yeah, it was very, deals with a lot of very intense subjects.
I've been watching more horror movies. I might be willing to
Well, this is a horror movie of, that's real life.
Oh, God.
I mean, some of it.
For patrons not in the U.S., you have the option to pay in pounds or euros, saving you the cost of the conversion fee. Annual memberships for all tiers are also now available. Those that select this option will be rewarded with a free month of membership.
For more details on all of this and specific member tiers, visit sinisterhood.com and click Patreon on the top banner.
So many of you have been tagging us in pictures of you sporting your sweet Sinisterhood merch. Keep those pictures coming. It's fall. It's chilly. You need a hoodie. Sinisterhood.com. Click shop on the top banner. You can get a hoodie, t-shirts, mugs, totes, clothes for your kiddos. It's all there. Sinisterhood.com. Click on shop.
The best thing you can do to help us grow is like, review, and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please tell a friend who you think would like us to check us out. You can also share any episode by clicking the three dots in the top right corner and share topic-based playlists from Spotify by visiting sinisterhood.com/playlist. All of this means so much to us and really helps podcasts like us get more exposure.
You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Sinisterhood Pod, and like us on Facebook, Sinisterhood. We're also on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast.
I am on Instagram at Christy M. Wallace, and I am on Twitter and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I am on Twitter at MCK versus the World, and on TikTok and Instagram at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you The District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.
Get your shopping done right this holiday season with Big Air Columbus. Right now, you can get $100 off Elite Player Passes at Big Air, which is unlimited play all day, any day. Or buy one $25 gift card, get a free pair of holiday grip socks, plus a 1.5 hour pass to use after the new year. Big Air is the perfect gift for the kids in your family. So get your holiday shopping done right with Big Air Columbus. Stop by today inside Fieldhouse USA at the Polaris Mall or online at bigairusa.com.
Apartment People, Champion, the trusted name in Columbus Living, brings you the District of Berkshire.
Man, it will be fun to live there, right by Tanger Outlet Malls. Oh my God, great location too, getting to and from Columbus, and a great deal right now.
Free rent until next year. Free rent until next year.
He ain't lying. Move in now, you don't pay rent until next year.
The District at Berkshire, available now at livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com. That's livewithchampion.com.